Welcome yet again to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as we usually begin, let's just take a few moments together to drop into this moment. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right, again, welcome everybody. We are going to pick up where we left off last week. We're actually in the middle of a section. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 213. We'll be starting with the very last paragraph on the page. So again, Sparkle Edition, page 213. I don't think anybody currently on the call has the original edition, but for folks who are listening in later, I will mention that as well. It's the original edition, chapter 9, part 5, paragraph 34. Again, chapter 9, part 5, paragraph 34. In the print copy of the book, it's page 179. Again, that's the original edition. And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. Ooh, I had the page open. Where did it go? Okay, it's on page 174, paragraph 4. The sentence, the paragraph begins with, God is more than you only because he created you. All right, so I'll just quickly recap the few paragraphs that we read leading up to where we're at, is essentially saying that we can't see the Holy Spirit with our eyes, but we can certainly see the effects of the Holy Spirit. And even if we're not feeling joyous ourselves, and yet we still manage to inspire others, there's something in us that's still capable of producing that joy, even if it's not something that we think we are consciously doing. If the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be present to us consistently, it's not that the Holy Spirit is inconsistent, it's that we are inconsistent because we have not yet made up our minds between the ego and the Holy Spirit. We still have one foot in each camp, so to speak, as we were discussing last week. So that's essentially where we're at, and we'll be talking to also about our brothers and how we learn, again, that which we've forgotten through our brothers, through each other. So again, picking up page 213, very last paragraph on the page of the Sparkle Edition. God is more than you, only because he created you, but not even this would he keep from you. Therefore, you can create as he did, and your disassociation will not alter this. Neither God's light nor yours is dimmed because you do not see. Because the sonship must create as one, you remember creation whenever you recognize part of creation. Each part you remember adds to your wholeness because each part is whole. Wholeness is indivisible, but you cannot learn of your wholeness until you see it everywhere. You can know yourself only as God knows his Son, for knowledge is shared with God. When you awaken him, you will know your magnitude by accepting his limitlessness as yours. But meanwhile, you will judge it as you judge your brothers, and will accept it as you accept theirs. So I'll pause there. And one of the things that jumps out to me in this paragraph is just with the opening sentence, God is more than you because he created you, but not even this would he keep from you. So in other words, as God extends that love outwards, we are capable of, let me back up. As God extends that love outwards, that is what we are. That is what God created. That is us. And we have that same gift of creation because he didn't withhold that from us, so we can continue to extend that love as well. And we'll be seeing in the rest of this section the term creations again pop up here and there. And we've talked about this before as sort of this obscure thing, but as we are a creation of God, we have creations as well. And we made them together, us and our brothers. So we'll be hearing about that a bit more in this section too. I also like how it says, neither God's light nor yours is dimmed because you do not see. So the fact, well, the seeming fact that we seem to be split off and separate from the love of God and not aware of it, that doesn't change a thing about truth. Truth remains unchanged. Our light is not dimmed simply because we're not aware of it. It's still bright and shiny. So I'll pause there and see, did anybody have any sentences that stood out to you? Any questions or comments?
Well, all I can say is I'm so glad you clarified that because I just wasn't getting it, but that totally makes sense. Thank you.
Which piece did you feel you were
getting? The fact that I wasn't thinking of, all right, God is more than you only because he loved you. You could change the word create. He created you, but you could change it to he loved you. That makes, you know, that really makes more sense to me. But not even this would keep from, not even this would he keep
would
from
he
you.
Keep from
therefore, you can love as he did. If,
I
you know,
love that.
If you just switch out that word create with love. That's wonderful.
Love that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you. That really, I feel like drives. It, that really clarifies it by substituting that word create to love. That's beautiful. Awesome. I'll just say, too, this last sentence, when you awaken him, you will know your magnitude by accepting his limitlessness as yours, but meanwhile you will judge it as you judge your brothers and will accept it as you accept theirs. So while we seem to be sleeping, we don't accept God's limitlessness as ours, but we can come to know it through each other. As we, you know, are willing to see that limitlessness, that love in our brothers, we come to accept it in ourselves. So let's go with the next paragraph. You are not yet awake, but you can learn how to awaken. Very simply, the Holy Spirit teaches you to awaken others. As you see them waken, you will learn what waking means, and because you have willed to wake them, their gratitude and their appreciation of what you have given them will teach you its value. They will become the witnesses to your reality, as you were created witnesses to God's. Yet when the sonship comes together and accepts its oneness, it will be known by its creations who witness to its reality as the Son does to the Father. So there's kind of a lot in this paragraph. You are not yet awake, but you can learn how to awaken. Very simply, the Holy Spirit teaches you to awaken others. As you see them waken, you will learn what waking means. One of the things that first jumps out at me to this paragraph is that I initially see that as, you know, how we can, how do I want to say this? I'll speak more from a personal point. I feel like the first time I read that, that engendered specialness within my ego because I thought, oh, the Holy Spirit is teaching me to awaken others. So I feel like, again, looking at this through the intellect or through the ego, you know, we can sort of misinterpret what it's saying. And what I see this meaning on a deeper level kind of goes back to, I've shared these two examples a number of times on the call, and simply because they had such a profound impact on me when the one example was me being on the telephone with someone who is, as I would judge, speaking a lot of nonsense, and rather than go into the same, you know, pattern with this person as normal, I just focused on the idea that the Holy Spirit was in their mind, period, and I just stayed there. I shared a similar example of being on the phone with a friend who was sort of, who also is a course student, and who I wanted to be like, just take it to the Holy Spirit already. She kept complaining and complaining and complaining, but instead of, again, correcting, I got quiet, and I was willing to focus on the Holy Spirit in her mind, period. And in both instances, without Corinne saying anything, there was a massive shift in those other people. And with this idea of awakening others, yes, there was a shift in them, but it was because, again, I was choosing for the Holy Spirit first. I was not coming from my ego thinking that I was going to teach them to awaken, but instead, you know, I was getting quiet and I was willing first to be taught by the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit in my mind to join with the Holy Spirit in their mind. So I'm hoping what I said just makes sense.
Absolutely.
But,
yes.
Good. So that's what came up for me in with that particular sentence. Because like I said, the first time I read it, it's like, ooh, the spiritual ego can get right in there and be like, yeah, I'm being taught how to awaken others. Great. But guess what? It's we're learning that as we awaken others, again, it's us. It's a joint awakening. It's the two of us together, two or more. So I'll pause there and see if anybody else has anything to add. I guess we're good. I know a number of people are on mute tonight too, so feel free at any point in time if you do want to come off of mute by pressing *6, you're welcome to. And we can take the next paragraph. Miracles have no place in eternity because they are reparative. Yet while you still need healing, your miracles are the only witnesses to your reality, which you can recognize. You cannot perform a miracle for yourself because miracles are a way of giving acceptance and receiving it. In time, the giving comes first, though they are simultaneous in eternity, where they cannot be separated. When you have learned that they are the same, the need for time is over. So in eternity, in truth, in heaven, there aren't any miracles because there's no need of miracles. There's nothing has been forgotten. Everything is known in eternity, and miracles, like it says, are reparative. Miracles are for correction. Miracles are for our shifting our faulty perception back into that right-mindedness perception. So right now, while we still need healing, it says that miracles are those witnesses to our reality, and they're things that we can recognize right now. And the sentence that stands out to me a lot here is, you cannot perform a miracle for yourself because miracles are a way of giving acceptance and receiving it. And what that says to me is that you cannot perform a miracle from your ego, and you cannot perform a miracle for your ego as well. It's on a deeper level. It's again, or not even deeper level, maybe level's the wrong word. It's about, you know, our capital Y, you, capital S self, not the ego self.
I have a pretty decent example of this. While you still need healing, your miracles are only a witness to your reality, which you can recognize. All right, I'm driving home from work, the other day, and I don't know, a few things occurred during the day, and I just thought of my husband, and I just, in my mind, I said to him, you know, from where you are, you could be a heck of a lot more helpful to me and the girls, meaning my daughters. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of forgot about it. The next morning when I went to work, I work with my daughter, Mary Lou. Mm-hmm. She had been complaining all week about having, like, gas pains or just moving about. It was really uncomfortable for her. That night, she woke up. Right after I said that to my husband, that night, she had a dream in the middle of the night that her father came to her and said, you got to stop taking that flaxseed. Don't you remember when I took it, it gave me gas?
Oh, my goodness.
She said to me, Monty, do you ever remember Daddy taking flaxseed? And I said, no, I don't remember anything like that. She said, well, I remember him standing in the kitchen saying that to me. And she said, last night I had a dream, and he came to me and mentioned, and in the dream he said, you got to stop taking this. She had been taking flaxseed.
Wow.
She never made the connection that that was what was causing all of this discomfort.
Oh, my goodness.
And since she has stopped to... But I just thought that was so... It just felt like a miracle to me because here I'm saying to him, you could be more helpful. And there it is. There he was.
That is
came to her in a
so
dream
beautiful.
And
so
helped
beautiful.
Her out, and she hasn't taken flaxseed again, and she's feeling it a whole lot better.
I love it. Oh, thank you for sharing that.
That is really, really amazing. It's so moving. It's not just really amazing, but it's moving.
It is. It is. Wow. Thank you, Paula.
I love it.
I'm chuckling.
I holler at him a lot, I want you to know.
I'm chuckling, too, because in the spirit world, you know, like, people, like, that have passed, you know, they are still here in the spiritual sense to help us along, and they can't actually do anything until we say, can you help me with this, you know?
Oh, for God's sakes.
I'm chuckling because your husband would be, you know, waiting for you to say, please help me. And it's not until you ask that they can do anything. They're bound by our free will, right? So.
Oh, Deidre, that's wonderful. I never thought of that before. Oh, well, he's going to be very busy now from now on.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for adding that, Deidre. That's so powerful, and it makes me think, too, about how it says in the Course, I think it says specifically the Holy Spirit. I don't remember, but whatever the term it is, whether it's Holy Spirit or, you know, universe, whatever, is trembling with readiness to give us everything. And it's patient because we have to ask.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you said that.
That's why I'm chuckling, because I can feel that the energy of your husband is kind of like, dang, if they would just ask me, I would.
Well, you know, the girls, my daughters, get a lot of help from him because I guess they do talk. They must. But there's been many, many occasions.
Yeah,
where...
but I feel like there's even more that he wants to help with.
Oh,
so
that's lovely.
Just keep that in mind.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Paula, the thought that comes to me, can you hear me?
Yeah.
The thought that comes to me is you talking to Pete about this house or no house or wherever. I know you've asked him, But I mean, you know, it's cool, and I know you know it, that you just have to ask, and he'll direct you to where you need to stay, where you want to stay, and so on and so forth.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. That was amazing. Coming back to this paragraph that we just read, I just want to mention one other thing, because what I just said about earlier about that sentence, you cannot perform a miracle for yourself, because miracles are a way of giving acceptance and receiving it. I don't remember my exact wording, but something wasn't sitting right with me with the language that I picked, so I just wanted to re-clarify. You cannot perform a miracle for your ego or from your ego, for yourself alone, because, again, it's always a joint healing. As we're healed, we're not healed alone. And what I said, I think it was actually what I was talking about with the capital S self versus the lowercase s self, that miracles help us become aware again of the capital S self. So it's that reparative experience of that recognition that we're greater than that small self, lowercase s. So that's all I wanted to add. I feel at peace now. Thank you. Okay, let's read this is the last paragraph in the section. Eternity is one time, its only dimension being always. This cannot mean anything to you, however, until you remember God's open arms and finally know his open mind. Like him, you are always in his mind, and with a mind like his. In your open mind are your creations, in perfect communication, born of perfect understanding. Could you but accept one of them, you would not want anything the world has to offer. Everything else would be totally meaningless. God's meaning is incomplete without you, and you are incomplete without your creations. Accept your brother in this world and accept nothing else. For in him you will find your creations, because he created them with you. You will never know that you are a co-creator with God until you learn that your brother is a co-creator with you. So, Paula, what you said about substituting the word creations for love or the love of God, that was sort of in my mind as I was reading this. And it's really helpful. Really, really helpful. If you think about it, in your open mind are your, it says your creations, but, you know, it is the love of God in perfect communication, born of perfect understanding. Could you accept any one aspect of the love of God, which is only one? We wouldn't want anything else, and our awareness of just one, you know, moment of it, one piece of it, is opens up the doorway for us to be aware of it all. Any comments or questions or examples?
Just reading all of this, it just makes me wonder why I don't want it more often.
Yeah, and that's the it's because we don't want it. We were still convinced that this world has something to offer. We still there's still some aspects of this state of separation that are appealing to us. And so as we have those moments, like you're just describing, like, why don't I want this more often? You know, we learn that we do want this more and more, and that's those miracles. That's that, you know, continuing returning of the memory of, you know, what we chose to forget.
You're absolutely right, and you know, calling on the Holy Spirit is truly, for me, what brings about, you know, the most peaceful. I was with my niece's family this weekend. We traveled quite a distance up into New York State to go to a play that my niece's daughter was in. It was a wonderful play. It was very distracting, though. I mean, because it was all about World War One. It had a real negative vibe to it, but still, it was excellent. The performance was excellent. And coming home, I mean, they got into a real tiff with their teenage daughter, which is not surprising. Teenagers can be difficult. And I went right into the Holy Spirit with it, you know, and just, I was so peaceful through the whole thing and just prayed for them, you know, that it would pass. And it did. Everybody became very quiet and we got home safely. And now this is like 1 o'clock in the morning because we left Friday afternoon to go up to New York State and then we came back the same night because it just, that's the way it went. And it really turned out wonderful. The whole thing just turned out very well. But again, that, you know, that's where I just kept going with it all.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only place to go. That's, you know, it's that when we try to problem solve apart from the Holy Spirit, Nook Santos talks about that a lot, you know, problem solving apart from Spirit. That's when, you know, we're not going to find that resolution. It's about going to the Holy Spirit with everything and bringing those problems, those situations to Spirit. You know, that the things really, really shift. So that's awesome.
I think too, like, I know for me, it's, I'm getting a lot stronger with it in the last year, but particularly at the beginning of my practice, I had beliefs about what I could ask for help about. Mm. You know, like I was of the mindset that I couldn't, you know, there were certain things that I shouldn't ask for help about. Of course, that's totally limiting. Mm. But now I'm kind of like, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm literally asking for help with everything. And some days it's like I'm asking for help every 10 seconds. You know, but, you know, we can literally, you can ask Spirit for help, you know, with literally everything, to the point where it's comical. Like, let me think of an example. Go ahead, Corinne.
Oh, I was going to give an example actually from the course, and I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, DG, because it really is about bringing everything to the Holy Spirit in the text, which is, you know, the book that it's on the market that has like the original dictations that Helen Schuckman took down with Bill Thetford when they were first, you know, putting down the course on paper. And there's a segment in there that doesn't appear in the books, any of the books that we're reading, that talks about using the higher shopping service, that Jesus wants us to give all the minutiae, is that how you say it? Minutiae.
Yeah.
Wants us to give him the minutiae so we can spend more time with Spirit, so we can spend more time with Jesus. And so the example in the text is of Helen going shopping and Jesus saying, use the higher shopping service, ask me what coat to get because I know what coat you're going to get anyway, and it'll just help us save time so you can spend more time with me. So I'm so glad that you just mentioned that, Deidre, because we really literally can ask for help with everything.
I couldn't remember the other day if I had already done something or not. And, you know, I was thinking about where I was this time last year, and this time last year I wouldn't have maybe gone to Spirit right away with it. And I don't know what was going on with me that day. I was just feeling a bit scatterbrained, and I had forgotten to do this one particular thing, and checking in with Spirit, I was guided to, you know, remember that I hadn't done this little thing. And, you know, like, it was just a little household chore, but it doesn't matter what it is. You can literally take, like Corinne is saying, take spirit shopping with you. They can, you know, your guides can help you get bargains, parking spots. You know, I've literally been in the car with people and people that are, you know, comfortable with me talking about metaphysical things. And I'll be like, oh, I'll just ask the angels to give us a parking spot. And then one shows up and then people are in the car and they start laughing. Because we got a parking spot. So it doesn't matter what it is that you're asking for help with. You'll get the help. The key is that you have to ask.
And what I love about, when I'm asking help, besides the, it was amazing how much humor Jesus had that. Just ask me to take the code. I know anyway what kind of code you have, so just let's save time for both of us. such a sense of humor that I just love it. I think I would remember always with this, though, because I do actually do this when I'm going, especially when I'm trying to buy a gift for somebody, that I'm asking that person's spirit to come and please help me to choose and guide me that what would you love the most, or what would you like the most? Or maybe even when I know that somebody wants something, but I have more variety, that okay, I'm asking that person's spirit that please help me that which one would you like the most. And it works to me so well. And the other thing that I love about this ask help is that when I get into this negative spiral and I just know I cannot get out, and I just keep running these negative thoughts and it's just getting worse and worse. And when I ask the angels or the fairies or even just the spirit or my own spirit, or I never really named it like the Holy Spirit, but actually we are all one. And I think it just goes to the right place and also on the vibration that we are able to accept. So we can ask the highest energy, but we are, if we are on such a low vibration, I think, I don't know what you think about that, but we might be not be able to accept that huge energy, so it needs to be transformed on the level we are able to get. But what I love about it is that when I'm asking that, okay, you know, I keep trying and I can't, please help me. So just help me to get out, because I cannot stop this negative cycle and I'm running this thing in my head. And there is always something happens that makes me laugh. So it's amazing how amazing sense of humor the spiritual world has, because sometimes I just see an amazing, you know, just like a little story in the street that makes me laugh. I don't know, maybe a child is trying to do something very cute, or a puppy tries to do something that is totally not okay for it because it's not there. So I don't know, just itty bitty tiny things, or I don't know, sometimes the radio just turns on, or there's just so funny things are happening that it's amazing if we ask and to really see this blessing on our deepest manifestation. What we need first, we need to get that vibration, and for that, to me, the path is to ask them consciously that please help me to get in that vibration. And now I'm just so glad that we talk about it, because it makes me remember that I just had a couple of weeks that I knew, and last week was very hard for me emotionally, and I just forgot to ask it. So I'm so happy that you talk about it. Thank you so much for inspiring me to go back and ask him, please help me to get in that vibration so I can receive more.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's definitely something that, you know, I've been working on myself, so it's like Corinne's saying, we're never healed by ourselves, you know. And one thing that the angels have been really, you were talking about humor earlier, and that is so true. Like, if you think about how caught up we get in in the stories of our lives, and or what's going to happen next, or what, you know, and we go to spirit and we sort of want answers, right? And it's lately what's really been coming through. Anytime I have a question about anything, it's like, you know, everything that occurs has already been scripted, and the amount of energy we spend worrying about the details of how something is going to turn out is kind of comical, because if something is going to happen, whether it be like the purchase of a house or the relationship with someone or, you know, whatever, it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can let go of the, like, the details that keep us in fear of how it's going to happen and just allow it to just play out the way it's meant to play out, it's so much easier. It's so, because you just create so much stress for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so they've been teaching me to last. And, mm-hmm. you know, almost how I'm creating my own drama when I'm doing that, when I'm wondering, you know, should I do this or should I do that or whatever, and it's almost this message of like, be lighter about it, like don't take yourself so seriously, like if that's where you are, that's okay, but if you're able to step out of that and just allow yourself to be almost kind of outside your body and laugh at how your ego is wanting to analyze everything, because that's all it is.
Excellent.
I'm glad that you added that, Deidre, and that calls to mind too the course quote that if you knew who walks beside you, fear would be impossible. That's one of my favorite quotes from the course. And
mm.
you know, if we knew who we truly are, how like yeah, don't take this so seriously. And that humor is a very, very, I'm glad we've been talking about the humor piece too, because I see that all over the course, and I know, you know, we all do as we're reading this. But part of what has helped me also with taking this less seriously has been, I've been really into, as you know, because we've talked about this, reading the accounts of people who have had near-death experiences, and, you know, they're so profound and so vivid, and they have shared so much in their books that has also given me a more, more reason for taking this way more lightly than I used to, so.
Yeah.
And Paula, are you going to add something before?
No, really.
Oh, okay.
That I just think Deidre's made such a good point. You know, we do. We just need to lighten up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a very gentle lightening,
yeah.
too. It's not that that spirit is like, you know, be gentle. It's more like, you know, just come with us, play with us.
Oh.
And I know, like, throughout my life, I've been totally serious, right? And I'm really learning to like, catch myself to the point where I laugh at myself now, because it's like, oops, you're analyzing again. Okay, back off. Let's try again. You know, and just kind of... I work with Archangel Michael a lot, and he's very, very, very funny. And I say he, but they don't actually have genders. It's just like he's got a very masculine energy, and he lets me know, like, right away. There's a tarot card that pops up every time I'm being too serious, and it's like my little reminder that, you know, just to lighten it up a bit. And it is, it's very funny, to the point where spirit will, like, if you have objects that are special to you or have, like, humor attached to them, spirit will maybe choose to show you that object, like, three times to get you to laugh, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just, it's it's really fun when you start noticing. Like,
Deidre, I have to share a story that you are reminding me of that I haven't thought about in years. And again, it goes to this idea of just the humor. I was all fired up at, again, surprise, surprise, somebody in my family. And they had written me an email, I think, and I was going to respond to it. And I had it all typed up, you know, I got out everything that I needed to say. And as I had my hands on the keyboard, I had this huge twitch in my arm, and my finger landed, this is in Gmail, my finger landed perfectly on something that deleted it, but it didn't just delete it and move it to the trash can. It was gone. Like, it was not recoverable. And I'm pretty sure it was in Gmail. And I just started cracking up, and it just shifted everything from me from being totally, totally in anger to be like, oh my gosh, this doesn't matter. And it came through in an arm twist. So thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking about Michael when you remembered that story, and so I really feel that that was Michael.
Oh, cool.
Deidre, have you ever seen the movie with John Travolta?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think Archangel Michael had a lot to do with his performance because if that isn't the most lighthearted, happy. That movie, I could watch it 100 times, especially when he's dancing with that girl in the end, and all the women's, oh, he smells like candy, he smells like cookies. I get such a kick out of it.
What is that movie? What is that movie?
Michael. It's just called Michael.
Oh. You
could get it on Netflix, or you could probably even get it on YouTube. But it's just wonderful.
I think but my multilarious story was actually, is it okay if I share with you? Because that was really after I realized, and I started to laugh so much that people started to laugh around me, and they didn't know what I was laughing about. Is it okay if I share you that story, how the universe works and how great humor they have? I was visiting Hungary, and I was coming home, and I knew that my luggage was overweight, and the line was extremely long by the time I got to the check-in counter, but I was the next one, rightfully the next one who was in line to come, and the time, I was there in time, but the line was extremely slow, and for the most out of the blue, they said it's a bomb alert because they found unattended backpack in the middle of somewhere in the lobby. Mm-hmm. So everybody was pushed and asked to go a couple of feet, you know, or meters away. And it was just simply so ridiculous because if it's a bomb, you know, that just stepping maybe 20 steps away, come on.
But
this was what was needed to do. And everybody was, of course, really kind of upset about that. And I was just worried about my way because I know that I was totally on the way limit. And before we got to the airport with my friend, I really told them, I mean, the spiritual world, that please, listen, I know I haven't been visiting to Hungary for 4 years. I know my luggage overweight. I do not want to pay anything. I need these things. I was a kind of like making a deal, and I said, I know everything, and please, yes, I want to go through, and I don't want to pay anything. Do whatever it takes. So I was there, and I was talking with this check-in girl, and then you know how it is. And I was a kind of like, it was very important. It was very interesting because I don't have this coming, you know, that I need to talk with somebody for a certain purpose. But I was a kind of like pushed, and I had this feeling that you need to talk with this girl. You need to talk with this girl. So I was a kind of like chitting and chatting with her. And then the bomb alert was gone because they found out that the mommy and the daughter went to the restroom and they forgot the backpack in the middle of the whole terminal. So I was there, And then I was next, and I put the luggage on the scale, and she looked at me, and she said, you know. I said, yes, but I have put everything what I need in this luggage. And I said, if you make me starting to pack out, I will miss my plane because it was so tight. She said, okay, I'm going to give you a fast pass. And she said, okay, just go. And then I was there standing in the line, you know, like going and taking, because in Hungary you take a bus and then they will take you to the to your plane. And I was there and I was asking what the heck that was, that why we needed this bomb alert. It just made me so nervous that I'm going to miss my plane. And I really was in the last second to get to the gate. And then I realized what happened, because if I had time, just like happened this last time when I visited Hungary, it was so much overrated that she must have put me aside and made me another bag or something. So it was just such a strong vibration in me that please help me. It doesn't sound that funny to me, but when I mean, it doesn't sound that funny right now at this moment, but when I realized by the gate that it was even a bomb alert, so I could take all of my baggage. I know it sounds weird, but it was totally, and I told my friend that, gosh, Agi, do you know what happened? And she said, you know what, I got it. And we were laughing so much that even we had the bomb alert, so I could walk through. I had an express pass through the security, and there was a bomb alert, and everybody was there because of this dirty, unattended backpack.
That incredible.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's incredible, exactly. And then I was just laughing so much that people looked at me and they started to laugh because I was laughing. And they said, what are you laughing about? I said, you will not believe it. So I didn't believe if I don't even start. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Awesome.
They knew the way.
I think that was a miracle.
Yes, it was. It was. It was totally a miracle. It was. I absolutely. And I totally also believe that in miracles comes when out of the blue you just have this manifestation from the realm, from the, you know, and they just, you got what you need and they disappear. I think that's another way of the miracle. I don't know if it has ever been, you read about it or you talked about it, but I just feel that, because sometimes they come in a very humorous way. And
oh, yeah.
I have had many, many manifestations like this in situations that by the time I looked up, they were nowhere, but it was just such a funny situation that, and then I realized that it was not a human. It was just not.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that story. That's great.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other, I'm thinking we're not going to do any more readings since we're at the end of this section. So does anybody else have any other comments or things to add? What is that?
I do. My name is Angela. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Angela.
How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Angela.
Hi. You know, I appreciate hearing about humor tonight. And because I really feel as though, you know, there's a couple things that were said. One is I've been saying this the past couple of days, and what I was saying was exactly what you had mentioned, Chris. If I really knew who I really was, then I would have no problem with everyone about me. No problem. But I don't know who I am.
Right.
And I forget. And then so, you know, I keep coming back to that, because when I think that I am this body and this solid being and thinking of what limitations I have and that I don't have enough of this and I don't have enough energy and there's a lot coming up and there's my sister is coming to visit. She has ALS and there's so much going on. Instead of, I'm trying to do the best to be proactive. Well, long story short, it just seems like things are getting added to the list. And I'm like, no, this is not going to happen. I don't know how this is going to happen. So, you know, I look at what was said tonight and just said, okay, there's got to be a shift. And also, I know I've also heard Ho'oponopono that prayer, and I still don't understand it, but I'm like, okay, I will do it anyway. And you know something, it's the ego, my ego, that gets in the way. Maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing, or I know that the other thing would be is that I know someone has said to me, you are going through your learning, and your learning is that every step it takes to get to the next step, you know, it takes what it takes. You're going through it. I know there's a lot in this statement, and I'm a little bit curious is when you call on spirit in different forms, angels and people who have passed, and you know, there's just so much that I'm like, I just see it's like the last statement I would make it is that, you know, if it makes sense altogether, is that the reason I'm not at the next step and the reason I don't really know who I am in truth is because I don't want it yet. And I guess I have an appreciation for that, but it's frustrating, and it's, you know, and so I'm opening. So any kind of, you guys are super busy people. I know you got to be. And I'm just like, my goodness, I really like to know, okay. I heard Deidre, I believe it is, saying, okay, like every 10 seconds, I need your help. I need your help. I must have started wrongly because I am not a piece. You know, whatever it takes, you know, so I don't know. Any comments, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, Angela, you brought up so many different things, and thank you.
It's hard.
So much for saying everything that you did. Your statement that we don't know who we are. You know, you said, we mentioned it earlier, that like if we truly knew who we were, we would be so at peace and so, identified with love that the world would just not have the appeal to us that it does. And we read something to that effect, that if we knew of our creations, nothing here could come close. It said something to that effect. The bottom line problem is that we still believe that we're separate and separate from God. And so that recognition that everything that comes forward for us in our life, whether it's a challenging situation or whether it's, you know, a seemingly good situation, there's two purposes that can serve. Used by the ego, it's going to be evidence that we want to remain separate or should remain separate or that we are separate. Reinterpreted by the Holy Spirit, it can be used as a way of helping us wake up. So when you said that somebody said to you before, you know, you're going through your lessons, going through what we're going through and saying, as much as we feel moved to, you know, Holy Spirit, look at this with me, or I give this to Holy Spirit, or to answer your question about who to call on, that is going to be how you feel guided. I know some people on the call, have spoken about angels and feel guided to call upon angels. I feel guided to call upon Jesus or the Holy Spirit. It's going to be, depending on our path, we have to just determine what feels right. And it's not that we're calling on anything different, because, again, we know what difference means because we're in this state of separation right now, but there is no difference in truth. So it's almost like when I hear people calling on, you know, things that seem to have a different form, to me, it's just semantics. It's just different words for what is ultimately the same thing. So in terms of who to call on to answer that part of your question, it's what feels right for you. It's that's got to come from, you know, within you in terms of what you feel resonates with you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Something that helps me with that, Corinne, because yes, I work with the energy of the angels, but I also, you know, I don't limit myself to that. I call upon Jesus and I call upon many different entities. And I find what helps me with that is much like Corinne is saying about the semantics, but it's all one energy. It's one energy. And it's together, it's all-encompassing, and it's love. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what name you call it, it's the same source.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Angela, you also touched upon a really important piece too about a recognition that you don't want that knowledge yet of who we really are. And that is a beautiful thing, because part of this is coming up, maybe we'll get to it next week, but the course references again, I think we'll definitely get to it next week probably, our unwillingness to heal. We still think that there's something here that benefits us. We still love in certain aspects of our mind, we still cherish what we've made here in terms of this, you know, dream of specialness, this dream of separation. So having willingness to look at that unwillingness with the Holy Spirit is all that's asked. We simply have to, when I do this for myself, I say, all right, here's my unwillingness again. You know, I recognize that I want this to turn out a certain way, and I own that, and I'm willing to look at it with you, and, you know, and that's how I hand it over. So that unwillingness, being willing to look at the unwillingness is a key step, and you're recognizing that by, you know, recognizing that there's part of you perhaps that doesn't want that yet. So, and that's okay, because we all wouldn't, if we wholly wanted it, I don't, we wouldn't need to be here anymore. On some level, all of us still are allowing this undoing of fear to occur in our own mind, or else, you know, we wouldn't be looking for another way. We wouldn't be, course students. We would have that knowledge already. So I don't know if I'm just sort of responding to some of the things that you said. Does any of that?
No, it does. It absolutely does. And I thank you very much. And I think the biggest thing where, you know, I feel a little, is being willing to look at our unwillingness with the Holy Spirit, and to just be aware of that. And I really, I will lighten it up a little bit and just say, okay, let's relax a little bit. And however it comes about, to get to that point, to get to the next point. But I do realize that no matter what happens, and I know it's the end of the call, so what I realize is that I have to allow this to happen. I cannot force it. I do try to force it, and guess what? It's like hitting my head up against the wall. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just my prayer is to be open.
Awesome.
And you know, really, Angela, the Holy Spirit, there's never a time. I mean, the world of this world is a distraction. It
mm-hmm.
is such a distraction. I mean, I can get into this wonderful, peaceful place and be distracted in 5 seconds. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter, because there's never a time. There is never a time that we can't call on the Holy Spirit, and that help isn't there for us. It's always there for us. You never get it done, and you can't get it wrong.
Thank you. And it's been done already.
It is done already. We just have to accept it.
Done. Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you all so much again for being here, and we'll resume next week.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Good night.